You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 23rd of May 2022, and you're listening to me, Sam Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, we've got a couple of news stories to get into today based around Britain, based around the education system and the anti-white ideology that is permeating through it, which is actually leading to lots more people homeschooling their children. There's been a massive increase in homeschooling over the last 10 years. And I think a large part of the reason for that is this racially biased teaching that is being taught now that is anti-white. This first news story comes from London. A council in London previously claimed that babies as young as 3 months old are racially biased, a report has uncovered. And this goes back to studies that were done some years back that claimed that white babies were racially biased because they showed a preference for white women as opposed to black women. Now, this is not racial bias. This is just the survival instinct. It's the preservation instinct. If you are a small child, obviously you're going to instinctively feel safer amongst members of your own family than you are with members of somebody else's family. That's what is going on here. It's not that these babies are white supremacists or they hate other races or they're discriminating against other races. They just show a preference for their own extended family. And it's interesting to note that they didn't do the same studies on black children, because I'm sure that black children would prefer to be with black adults than they would prefer to be with white adults. I mean, it's just common sense. Is a kitten going to prefer to be with a mother cat, or is a kitten going to prefer to be with a female dog? I mean, it's just common sense. And this is the sort of thing that then gets used to claim that white people are inherently racist, and that this is whiteness which must be stamped out, which they claim is an ideology which infects white people, whereas being white is just your identity. It's how you are born. It's because all your ancestors bred with people that looked like them. That's why you are born white. It's the result of a conscientious decision to marry somebody that looks like you. Basically, going back for generations. It's not as if it's just an accident or it's just by chance that people are born into the ethnicity that they are. It's because they are just the current generation in a long line of people looking like them going all the way back. And that is the same for whatever ethnicity you're from. You could be a Chinaman, you could be a Nigerian, or you could be a Scandinavian. And it's because of the choices your ancestors made. And that's why when you look in the mirror, that's what you are looking at, basically. You are looking at the result of generations after generation of people that look like you. We also have a thing called genetic similarity theory. Genetic similarity theory. And what that predicts is that people will tend to pick partners and friends with a large amount of the same inheritable genes that you have. And this is why traits such as being a musician or being a doctor or being a solicitor, this is why they tend to get passed down through the generations, because your ancestors picked somebody for a partner that was also a musician Or maybe they weren't themselves a musician, but their mother was a musician. So those genes were there to be a musician, and that's why it gets passed on. And this is also the reason why, if you look back at photographs of great-grandparents, you will find that they look similar to you. And this is also why people say that men tend to pick women that look like their mothers. And people tend to say that women tend to pick men that remind them of their fathers. And it's because of this genetic similarity theory. And this is also the reason why we have races, because we instinctively prefer people that look like us. We instinctively want to breed with people that look like us. If that was not so, then we wouldn't have the diversity of peoples that we have. We would just have one blend of peoples. We would just have one race, one sort of indeterminate race without any distinction from the others. The fact that there is these distinct differences between them shows that we naturally prefer people that look like ourselves, and that's why these races have existed for so long. It's why we have boundaries between them, and we form groups based on the extended family. This is where the nation comes from. It starts off with the family, and then it becomes a clan, then it becomes a tribe, then it becomes a nation. The word nation comes from natio, birth. It's a people that are all related by birth. It's only in the last 50 or 60 years that the word nation has become changed to mean people that all live in the same country and all are citizens of the same state, basically. Getting back to this article here, Islington Council in London has in the past published claims that babies as young as 3 months old can show racial bias, demanding that extremely young children should be talked to about the issue of race. So they're saying because children prefer to be with people that look like them, they must be racist, they must be indoctrinated with anti-racism, and they must somehow be forced to go against their survival instincts and prefer to be with members of another group. And that is going to cause all sorts of problems, isn't it, with a young child if you're trying to get them to go against their survival instinct. And I'm sure that this is just based around a misunderstanding. Whoever's been doing the study has looked at it and thought, well, it must be because these children are racist. But there's an equally plausible explanation, just that it's the survival instinct and they instinctively want to be with members of their own extended family. Of course, the idea that your race is your extended family is one that doesn't get talked about. They just try to claim that race is just something to do with skin colour, and it's just by chance that you're born with whatever skin colour you have. How you're going to talk to three-year-olds about race and explain it to them, I don't know. I mean, the test that they did here, they basically looked at the look on a child's face. They showed them images of females from other races and measured the look or the smiling look or the disapproval look on the face. And that's how they did this. That's how they did some of these studies, because I believe that there's more than one that they have actually done. And I think this is an example of misusing the results that are found here. I mean, so many of these studies, I would say, are useful to us as nationalists because they prove our position. And yet our opponents will say the opposite. Like our opponents here will say, well, no, this study proves that white children are born racist and they're racist by the age of 3 months old. Whereas I would say, well, no, the conclusion from this is that white children have a strong survival instinct and they instinctively want to be with their extended family, which just seems like common sense to me. So this is the funny thing. I mean, it's the same studies that each side refers to, but the conclusions that we reach are different. The post was recently uncovered by reporters at The Telegraph after the paper previously found that a number of councils across the United Kingdom had hired the services of a Maoist anti-whiteness organisation for the purpose of giving nursery staff racial awareness training. So children are being put in nurseries where they're then being indoctrinated with anti-whiteness, anti their own ethnicity, the ethnicity of the people that built Britain are now sending their children into nurseries where they're indoctrinated with being anti themselves. According to a report published on Saturday, one of the councils to avail itself of the diversity training services provided by the so-called Black Nursery Manager Consultancy also previously claimed that babies as young as 3 months old could be racially biased towards their own carers. Well, obviously, they're not going to feel at ease if they have a carer that is from a different race, are they? It's going to mess up their survival instinct. You're going to want babies to feel as secure as possible. And this is a way to make them feel insecure. It's not that the babies are being racially biased. It's that the parents are trying to force their multicultural ideas upon the child. And in actual fact, what they're doing is that they're not really getting the child to get used to having other races around. What they're doing is they're unsettling the child by taking them away from their own extended family and putting them with somebody else from another extended family, possibly somebody else who has been indoctrinated to believe that they've been oppressed by white people and that white people have this illness, this whiteness illness that needs to be taken out of them somehow. So, I mean, it could be that the carer from this other community may also be not treating the child in the way that you would really want them to be treated. They may be trying to force them to be against their own people, force them to act in maladaptive ways. And so much of what we see today is maladaptive. We see white people doing things that are going to result in the end of white people, aren't they? If we keep encouraging whites not to breed, if we keep encouraging feminism and encouraging women to work instead of becoming mothers, if we keep encouraging white people to hand over their positions to other races, if we keep telling white people that they should be celebrating the fact that they are fast becoming a minority, we're going to end up being a minority, and eventually we're going to end up being bred out of existence. Because when you have different ethnicities within a territory, breeding rights comes with the territory. And you have all this propaganda that we put on the television, propagandizing people into interbreeding with other races. Just about every advert you see on the television now features a mixed race couple. And the end result of that is that you have children that are no longer white. That couple has a child that no longer looks like the white person's ancestors. They look like the ancestors of another people group. So essentially we are replacing ourselves whilst cheering about what a great thing this is. And if we're going to be trying to force children to go along with this from an early age, it's going to be hard for them to break out of it. And they're going to end up feeling guilty, aren't they? Because they're going to be told that it's a terrible thing to want to be with your own people group. And yet they are instinctively always going to want to be with their own people group because that's their survival instinct, because that's their very biology is telling them this. It's not that they've been brainwashed into being racists. It's just that their biology is telling them that they should be with someone of their own biology. And if they've been told that that is a terrible thing that they should feel guilty about, it's going to make them neurotic, isn't it, really? Appearing in a post originally uploaded by an account associated with the Islington Council in 2021, the claim appeared alongside another which said that white children are strongly biased in favour of whiteness by the time they turn 5 years old, as well as a link to material produced by the state-owned BBC on how to talk to toddlers about race. Incredible, isn't it? White children are strongly biased in favour of whiteness. It's like saying cats are strongly biased in favour of being cats. Of course people want to identify with their ethnicity. It's who they are. It's central to their identity. Again, a lot of the problems that we have today are caused by people being confused about their identity. We've imported people from other parts of the world where their population centres are, where their extended family are. We've imported them into white countries and then told them that they are the same as white people and that their identity is Swedish or their identity is British, when they can look in the mirror and they can see that their identity is actually Nigerian or their identity is Pakistani. And yet they've been told that they're now British. So they have a split identity. So then when they hear that Britain may have done things that the Pakistanis don't particularly like, then they're going to be confused because they're going to think, well, I've been told I'm British. And yet the British people did this. So they're then going to be against Britain because of that. And yet they've been told that they are actually British. It's like David Lammy, who gets confused over why he can't call himself British ethnicity. Well, because ethnicity is based on ancestry. But he's been told that he's the equivalent of being British, so he thinks he's of British ethnicity. But of course, his loyalties are to his ancestral identity. Your loyalties are always going to be towards your own family, and there's nothing wrong with that. And understanding race and ethnicity and nationalism, it really is just an extension of the family. It's completely natural. We don't see anything wrong with it when it's people groups that are non-white that are identifying with their identity. We encourage that. But when white people start to do that, we get told, well, this is a terrible thing and it can only result in genocide, which I don't believe is logical to think that. I think white people have fought amongst themselves, but they've very rarely gone out and tried to wipe out another people group. I mean, if you look at what happened with the Red Indians, say, we gave them reservations. If you look at Australia, New Zealand, we gave them their own land. We encouraged them to form their own advocacy groups. We do all we can for these other groups. We don't try to genocide them. Of course, people will refer to the Second World War. They will refer to Adolf Hitler, and they will say, well, Adolf Hitler tried to get rid of all the Jews. Well, that was Hitler. That was 70 years ago. What we're talking about here is just a desire to be amongst your own people. We're not talking about trying to get rid of these other groups. We're talking about trying to encourage these groups to identify with their ethnicity and to do whatever they can for their ethnicity and to want to be with them and to take their identity from that and to find out what they're best at doing. Just because Jews were mistreated in the Second World War by one particular strand of nationalism does not mean that that's what nationalism leads to. You have nationalism all around the world. I mean, you have nationalism in China. China is an ethno-nationalist state. It's all Chinese. They will say they're multicultural because they have slight differences between some of the ethnicities there. But they only make up 1% of China. And if you're looking at them as a non-Chinese person, then they just all look Chinese to us. And yet they're not accused of trying to genocide these groups. You have ethno-nationalism in Africa. You have countries that are based on the majority tribes in that country. The state is based upon that, and they're all black, and they're not accused of trying to genocide all the others. It's the same in India. If you have multicultural areas, then you do have problems between the groups in that area. But if you don't have a multicultural area, then these problems cannot arise. And that's what we're talking about as nationalists. We're not talking about rounding up like other ethnicities, putting them all in camps or mistreating anyone. We're just talking about encouraging people to live together with their extended family because we believe that to be the most conducive way to live. I've gone a little bit off topic here. Getting back to this article here, we have a quote from Adrian Hart from parental campaign group Don't Divide Us regarding the claims made by Islington Council. He says, fundamentally, many of the studies presented in support of these sorts of ideas about children and race simply conflate acceptance of one group with rejection of another. And this is just it. Just because you love your own group, it doesn't mean that you hate another group. Just because a child wishes to be with their own extended family, it doesn't mean that they are rejecting the existence of other extended families. I mean, we need to have these other groups there in order to bring out the best in us. We have to have competition between the people groups. And that competition encourages progress, it encourages technological development, and it encourages personal development. And it encourages love for your neighbour as well, because there is strength in unity. And this is, as I say, this is how these nations got formed in the first place, was through a strong sense of identity. And in order to get that strong sense of identity, you need to have another people group there. And the idea of white people actually being white didn't come about until Europeans were juxtaposed with black Africans in America. Up until that point, white people had always seen themselves as being different. Germans different from Italians, different from Welsh, different from English. And once you had North Europeans in America, and once you also had black Africans there, the North Europeans started identifying as white, because they could see that there was this other group there that was different to them. So it was only once you had this competition between the groups that you start identifying with your own group. Adrian Hart continues, children's choices in relation to things like doll or toy preference in artificial experimental conditions offer no indication of whether the child takes account of race in everyday social interactions. Parents and educators and policymakers in local and central government alike cannot take claims like these at face value. So I would suggest that the reason why a white child would prefer to play with a white doll is because they see themselves reflected in the toy that they're playing with, because they have an instinct to want to look after people that look like themselves. If you look at little girls who play with little dolls, they like to play at being mother, don't they? It's the instinct to protect and to be like your parents. So, of course, they're not going to prefer a doll that comes from another people group, because it's not themselves that they're seeing reflected there. That would not be a natural instinct, would it, to be looking after a child from another people group? I mean, that would be rather like saying that it's completely natural for birds to look after cuckoos in the nest, and cuckoos in the nest are obviously from another group of bird. And the mothers of the other group, the parents of the other group, rather, they end up being conned into thinking that the cuckoo is actually theirs, and they look after them. That is essentially what you would see if you saw a white child with a black doll. It would mean that they are pretending to be bringing up a child from another people group. And if that was to be the norm, then you wouldn't have any children being brought up from the white people group. It would just be all black children that were being brought up. So it's not a natural instinct that they're trying to confer on children here. They should be encouraging black children to identify with other blacks and to care and be responsible for their people group. And they should be encouraging the same amongst whites. The Telegraph's discovery comes shortly after the paper found that a significant number of local councils had hired an organisation pushing controversial critical race theory style ideas to train nursery staff in their regions. And what is critical race theory? Well, it's just being critical of white people, basically. That's what it means. It means being critical of white people and blaming white people for all the discrepancies that we have in society between the people groups. Whereas, as nationalists, we don't blame white people for that. We blame multiculturalism for that. And, of course, multiculturalism is a policy that white people dreamt up. It is something that we are doing to ourselves. And, of course, these other people groups benefit from it. So, of course, they're also going to promote it, and they're also going to encourage it. They would be rather silly not to. Slammed as producing very Maoist material by one commentator, a number of MPs have since reportedly got in contact with the publication to say that the kind of training provided by the organisation must now be investigated as the most poisonous and divisive kind of dogma. But they're basically just promoting diversity, aren't they? They're basically just promoting what the British government says is a wonderful thing that everybody should be doing. I mean, this is what you end up with, because it's not actually diversity that they're promoting. It's the end of diversity that they're promoting. They're promoting the blending of everybody together, and they're trying to prevent any hint of solidarity arising based upon ethnicity. That's the one thing they don't want, is white people to start identifying with who they actually are, because blood is thicker than water. And if we started doing that, then we might be able to form a democratic opposition to what's going on. I mean, there is no difference between Conservative and Labour on this issue. There is no political opposition whatsoever, because any political opposition that starts forming just gets accused of being racists and white supremacists. And they use that to shut down the debate. Children need to form their own views at the same time as they learn to respect those of others, Education Secretary Nadeem Zahawi previously stated regarding the topic of ideological influence within the British school system. And that is exactly what, that is exactly how things should be. That is how I was brought up, was to respect the views of others, and if they had different views to mine, to be tolerant of them, and how it was completely wrong to be intolerant of other people, and you should learn to understand their views. And of course, that's not what we're being taught today, is it? Today, we're being taught that anybody that identifies with being white is a fascist, is a Nazi, is a white supremacist, should not be allowed a platform, should be banned from social media, should not be able to earn money from streaming or from talking about these sorts of things. They should lose their business. They should lose their bank accounts. And it's all just based on a complete intolerance for anybody else having a different opinion. And the reason why that is because the difference in opinion is not based on fantasy. It's not based on the dislike of skin color. The difference of opinion is based on solid evidence, and it's based on instinct. And you can see from these white children that prefer to be amongst white people that this is just a natural instinct that we're trying to squash here, that we're trying to say is somehow in error, when it's not in error. It's the basic survival instinct. So Nadeem Zahawi, what he's saying here is exactly the way things are, but it's his government that have encouraged this sort of thing and allow this sort of thing to go on in schools. They're the ones that are promoting multiculturalism. They are the ones that have this immigration policy that just allows in millions of people from completely different ethnicities to the British one. They're the ones that are encouraging this. And yet when things like this get highlighted, that you've got schools telling three-year-olds that whiteness is a terrible thing and that white children are racist, then of course they'll come out and say, oh yes, well, this is terrible. Children need to learn to respect the views of others. But it still goes on. They don't do anything to stop it. He continued, that's Nadeem Zahawi, that is why parents and carers need to be able to trust schools to be totally impartial. They need to be confident that their children can learn about political issues and begin to form their own independent opinions without being influenced by the personal views of those teaching them. Again, it's all very well to be saying this, but when you look at schools and you do a poll, you find that all the teachers are left-wing, or the vast majority of them are left-wing. When you look at universities now, if you have a conservative view or if you have a Republican view, the majority of people are too frightened to even say that. And the whole education system is skewed towards promoting left-wing ideologies. We have 5- and 6-year-olds having gay pride parades, waving the rainbow flag. We have them being taught about whiteness, being taught about Black Lives Matter, and of course coming down very heavily on the left-wing side of the debate. They're not even told the right-wing side of the debate. The right-wing side of the debate is said to be fascist or out of bounds or white supremacist. So if only this were true, if only what Nadeem Zahawi was saying here is true, and that children were taught to respect the views of others and teachers were completely impartial, we wouldn't have this problem. But we do have this problem because what he is talking about, the government are not doing. He says no school should be encouraging young people to pin their colours to a particular political mast, and that's what he finishes up with. But yes, but if you say that your politics are nationalist politics, then the teachers are going to get prevent involved, aren't they? That's what we learned last week, that the teachers were using the anti-terrorism group in order to go after people with right-wing views, to try to terrify them into not being true to their instincts and to silence them and prevent them from actually taking part in the political process with the ideas that they have. And this is the other side of it. The government is continually talking about trying to get young people involved in the democratic process and get them to believe that they have a stake in society. And yet when young white people start to form groups based around their identity, they just end up being told that they're Nazis. The police say that the leaflets they're posting are inflammatory leaflets when they're just talking about genuine concerns that the Indigenous British people will have, such as they're going to be a minority by 2060. And yet the police go on record saying that's inflammatory. That's the sort of subject that the Indigenous British people want to be debating. That's the sort of thing that young white people, a certain portion of them, are going to be very concerned about. And they need to have somebody speaking up for them. And yet everybody that does start speaking up about these issues just gets silenced and then they get accused of hate speech. And then we have people like Nadeem Zahawi saying, well, we need to get young white people involved in their community and in the democratic process. It's exactly the same thing as here. It's the government that's responsible for preventing that. And yet their mouthpieces will pretend that that's actually what they want. And until we actually have an advocacy group for white people that manages to break free of all these accusations of being racist and white supremacist, this problem is just going to continue to get worse. And that's the solution to it. They have to allow some opposition. We're supposed to live in a democracy. We're supposed to have opposing points of view. And yet the nationalist point of view is continually silenced and forbidden. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion. Talk radio for the nationalist community.